Are you not?
I'm Bill Jenkins, and for the next hours, it's a very shortened version of the Open Mind program, but we don't mind giving up our time to let the Dodgers do their thing and beat those world champion St. Louis Cardinals, and that indeed they did. But if you're going to stay with me for this hour, I want to invite you in for a mind trip. A little mind boggler, if I may. A mind stretcher. And with me is Grace Coveney. Hello, Grace.
Hello, Bill.
And what we're talking about tonight... Now, Grace is a psychic. And by the way, she's our resident psychic.
here at KABC.
She's... What, you've been with me a couple of times. You've been with Ken and Bob.
Six times.
And
all
told. You're going to be with Barbara Essenson tonight?
From 3 to 5.
Oh, lovely Barbara. She steals all my guests. But I'm glad to
but
have you
on. But you're number one.
And she's also a diplomat and says things like that. But rather, Grace, than, the folks calling in and giving readings, which mm-hmm. you do so very well. In fact, you do that better than anybody I have ever heard. And that's as you know, that's really not one of the things that I do on this radio program. We all know that you guys can do that. There is something else that you do, which is hypnotic regression or progression, either one. And I want you to tell us a little bit about what you know and what you have found out about that. And then I'm going to do something that I had to think about for a while, a couple of weeks, kind of personal in a way. But I don't have any secrets from the audience, and I'm going to share with you a hypnotic session where I went into a trance with Asoldi Bauer, and we went into the future. And I must tell you that that got to be a little bit bizarre, so you won't hear the bizarre parts. they stretched my open mind a little bit. But we will go ahead and let it, because a lot of people probably have never heard what happens there. I wish that I could describe things in my conscious self as well as I did on the tape, the visions, the pictures of where we are. And we're into the future about 300 years and then again into 500 years. And then we went 2,000 years, and I decided not to play that for you because that's wild. Maybe I will. I mean, there's nothing in there I don't mind you hearing. I just didn't want to bend your mind too much. But I know that you're beginning to do this and working with your clients.
Ironically, when people do go into regression, they do all come up with the same story, which is really another mind blower.
Mm-hmm.
And these people that have come to me, they have no preconceived idea what they're getting into.
Yeah.
And when the stories start coming, I had one particular one. Her name was Denise. And her tape was one of the best I've ever had. She went back to the time of being an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have her tape, which I know we're not going to play. But she described a massacre. And it was something that I play over and over again.
She really described it. In fact, I think I was out at your house and we played that for
us. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And then I have had other people that have gone way back into another time area where they're even on a boat and describing a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And their voices will go into the time element that they are. They change their dialogue completely. And these are no actors or actresses.
Right.
And when you're taking them through it, you have to be careful. You have to be where they're at. And you have to understand where they're coming from. So you're visualizing where they are. My friend Florence Garrett, I had her sit in on a hypnosis because she didn't know too much about it. And this gentleman went back to the 17th century, described his experience on a ship. And one of the things that came up was I saw his mother in my own mind. And I said, what is your mother doing? Why is she annoying you so? With this Irish brogue, he said, those eyeglasses on her nose always bother her.
Hmm.
And they annoy him because they're always slipping down. Now, my friend is sitting watching this and listening to this man. He went through 5 different stages. And each stage, he came out with a different dialect, a different place.
Isn't that weird? Whenever you, your clients, when you put them under, do they speak slower and softer than usual?
Yes.
Or are they very verbose?
Yes.
Because we had a little bit of difficulty. This is the second time it's happened to me. The first time that Dr. Frank Baranowski regressed me back into France.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't use my vocal cords. I was whispering, which really made a great tape. There's nothing, you can't figure it out. On this one, I talked a little bit better, but it was much quieter than I do, and ordinarily do. So, and, well, the speech patterns are not mine,
no,
and all of those things.
Right.
And we're talking about a man in the future. And I would like for you to hear it. Do you want to share that with me for just a second?
Yes, please.
All right, we'll get to that in just a second. You know, we all hesitate. About a week and a half ago with Isolde Bauer. Isolde has moved down here. She's in Lake Elsinore now. And if you wonder, she did a painting.
Mm-hmm.
She painted me. She got it from a photograph from the radio station, painted me. Then she goes and sits sort of a trance and then paints past lives, you know, or pictures or symbols or things. And there were all kinds of faces on this beautiful painting that I have in my study right now. One of them that really intrigued me was a guy that looked like he had a kind of a space hat on, or, you know, kind of a futuristic thing. So when she put me under, we concentrated on that. And after we had gone through the regressive state, she asked me exactly where I was and to describe the situation. Now, I am under. I don't remember any of this. This is in, I guess, the beta state, probably, when this happened. Okay, let's listen.
Of incredible beauty. Sky is very blue. There are a few lacy clouds I see. Below, magnificent city that stretches beyond the reach of my eyes. The architecture is like I have never seen. Tall, slender, some swirls of architectural mass. Some of the buildings, some gracefully, seem to explode at the top. A giant, beautiful mushrooms that glisten in a very white sun. And there are trees everywhere. And birds.
Like a wonderful place, doesn't it?
Oh, my.
We have a little microphone difficulty there. You can hear that in the in holding the microphone. When I heard it, I was stunned. And we'll hear some more of it as the evening goes on, because I allude to some things that are really mind-boggling. Some of them I will share with you tonight, and some of them maybe later, but I'm having to digest them also. The thing about a progression is that there's no way to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you hypnotically regress somebody into another life, and Then you can go back and find that person actually existed. Now you've got something to dig your teeth into. In a case like this, we'd have to wait for 300 years. And then later for 500 years. And then we even go forward 2,000 years. And that's a different place altogether. But there were some astounding things that I said at that time. Does that sound familiar to you, that thing that happened there?
Yes. There was the type of buildings you described. Well, this girl, I did her brother also, and he described something like this.
Did he really?
He really did, and he went way out. And when you hear all this, you're as shocked as the people that mm-hmm. are around you. When I regress children, and you could say, well, what can you do with a child? Well, the youngest one I did was 8 years of age, and he came out with things that his mother said, there's no way he could speak that way.
Mm-hmm.
I had a young boy named Matthew, and he was not a very tolerant young man. And when I put him under, he came out with words. Incidentally, I always have a parent in the room after I put them under. And this boy came out with words of such intelligence that we just sat and listened to him. One of his lives, he described being shot by someone.
Hmm. Well, on this tape later, I don't know that we'll have it tonight or not. I get into some very scientific things. I get into some very medical things.
And there's no way you would have known about it.
This is, are you kidding?
Well, this is my point. You see, there are a lot of people, or many people, unless they've experienced it,
mm-hmm.
they could say, well, it doesn't count. My son, Rick Barek, who's here, I put him under. And he came up with some things. He went ahead of his time, which is now taking place. And I did you a year ago, right? And things that he said a year ago is now coming
mm-hmm.
to fruition for him. With yourself, when you were under at that point, you felt, and in listening to it, as if I was with you. And mm-hmm. I experienced where you were, because whoever is putting you under is experiencing with you mm-hmm. to bring these things out.
That was the Soul Devourer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was quite an experience. It really was. And we'll share more of that.
How did you feel when you got out of it?
Well, I got out of it in a very unusual way because somebody rang the doorbell. And I was paralyzed. I couldn't move there for, maybe...
Until she got you to come back.
She got me to come back.
Right.
And but that was kind of frightening because mm-hmm. ordinarily the hypnotist will bring you back out in that way. We were evidently coming out of it. I had mm-hmm. told her that I didn't want to do this anymore, actually, mm-hmm. is what I had told her on the tape. And so we were getting out, and then the unexpected doorbell rang, so that was kind of a jolt. And I was having a little conversation with her on the side, really, some mm-hmm. information for her as to why all of this happened, or it was allowed to happen. Well, we'll get back to that in just a second.
I said, people that are going ahead into progression, they come up with the same things.
Well, we'll see what else I came up with here in just a minute, but we'll take a little time out on Open Mind. Jenkins, it's Open Mind. Grace Coveney is with me, our resident psychic person.
Thank you.
And we get into hypnotic regression and progression. And tonight, along with Grace, we're sharing one that I went through here a couple of weeks ago. This next little cut, it's only a couple of minutes long, will probably astound you. It astounded me because I was asked by the hypnotist, who was Isolde Bauer, what did I look like? Who was I? Was I a man or a woman? Look at your feet and, you know, start describing who you are. And I think that you will find this quite fascinating.
I look like I have looked for hundreds of years now. Since the time of the transition. I haven't changed.
Can you describe
Bill? Yes. Trim. Tan. Slender. Wearing sort of a toga. Barefooted.
Can you feel them?
Yes, they're very soft.
Soft.
Sort of like that. But warm yet cool to the touch.
Think about a letter. What comes to your mind right quick? A letter. And why don't you...
My name is the name I've had
before?
For always. It seems. Since the transition.
Can you remember? You should.
It is Bill. Going through the tapes, this is 300 and something years. Well, no, it's about 350 years from now in the future. And it's still me, and it's still Bill. Have you found that happening?
Yes, this young man described the toga.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was in a large auditorium, very white, very stark.
Hmm. Well, this is evidently a beautiful place there mm-hmm. that my mind had us at, or what we were doing mm-hmm. at that mm-hmm. time. And just for the record, through this whole thing, life never ends.
Just goes on.
Got rid of death. That'll be explained how that's done. And there's no sickness. And 2,000 years ago, it's still Bill and Evelyn, you know, mm-hmm. still living with my wife. Boy, she didn't like that.
Hi, Evelyn.
All right, we'll get back to that. I'm Bill Jenkins tonight on Open Mind. You're listening to... some excerpts from a hypnotic progression, is that what you call
mm-hmm,
it, Grace?
Progression.
Which Grace does all the time. I did that with Isolde Bauer, and it was fascinating. And there may be something in there worthwhile. Who knows? You know, if you've ever to do that, can they do that?
Yes, I live in Calabasas. My area code is 213-888-8116.
And you do regress people and progress people.
Progress people.
The same way.
Right, and I do psychic readings.
And psychic readings.
And
yes,
I found out I've been combining both. And it works out very well. Because when people do come, they don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So I take them by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I will always tape a session.
Right.
Because I want them to know what they really have experienced.
Well, it's a stunner. Do most people go out... whenever they go under? Some people remember whenever they're under, I understand.
Well, one of the things I do when people are under, I always take their picture, and I brought some, which I've
shown.
Yeah,
I saw them, yes.
And they always think they're not.
Yeah.
And I believe some people come on this earth, they're like new souls.
Yeah.
They're touchy people. They're very excitable. And they want to keep going. They don't have time to wait. Other people that I think have had other lives, they're more assured.
Hmm.
They take things in an easier attitude. When they're going under, I try to have them visualize something that makes them happy. Could be sitting up on a mountain mm-hmm. at a seashore. Any place that's going to make them feel relaxed. What I do first is take them... In order to go into regression, you have to take them back in increments, like every 5 years. When they're ready to pass to another spot, being another person, sometimes you have to take people 5 and 6 times. They can't go back. They just can't. Now, that doesn't mean that they weren't under. They really are new souls.
They just weren't there.
They just weren't there.
Now, in this case, we went forward, and it was still me.
And it was still you. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of stunning. And talk about something stunning. Let's hear this next one, which just when I heard it, I almost fell out of the chair.
I'm looking forward to listening to it right now.
Ray Bream and Bruce Hershens and I are going to have a big talk about this one. But nevertheless, it came down. I was asked what was the name of the city that I had described earlier. And we got into the government. And this, you won't believe.
The city has no...
No name?
Real name. For it is a functioning city. Which will be here for a while yet. And then this whole city will leave. And go elsewhere in the cosmos. To do again what it is doing here.
Is there a system of a government you could think of?
Yes, indeed. It is.
Can you describe it a little bit about it?
Governments were suspended.
Yeah.
Okay, Ray and Bruce. I was under hypnosis when Ray said that.
I would love to do a hypnosis on Ray Bream.
Don't get on my case. And we talked more about that. Just that the governments weren't taking care of the spiritual person, and so they were all suspended so that that people could work together to take care of their spiritual needs more than their physical needs was what that conversation went on to. It was rather deep and metaphysical, in a way. Very spiritual kind of a conversation.
But your voice got deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
It went into another octave.
I was sure saying some things that I wouldn't ordinarily say. I'll tell you that. Well.
Has Evelyn listened to this tape?
Parts of it. Mm-hmm. It's a little interesting for her, too. It's a Saturday night. It's open mind. And we're getting it stretched a little bit. I know I do when I hear this. I don't know exactly how that's coming across to you. Grace Coveney is with me. Grace, you're going to be on later with Barbara tonight,
Yes,
huh?
From 3 to 5.
Oh, listen, when you come down, you just make a trip of it.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, her audience is so great. We have one more of these things I want to share with you, and then we'll try to get to your calls. But let's take care of a few things first. Be right back with you.
Everything, don't you?
I share it all.
Yeah, I'm going to remember that. As a matter of fact, yeah. I am more comfortable sitting on your lap.
Mike didn't come to work with you.
No, he didn't. So we can talk about it. You want to hear what I've got on the air coming at midnight?
Yes.
Okay, well, first of all, we have, this is Older Americans Month, the month of May, and because of that, and also it was an excuse to have someone on my show that I've been trying to get for such a long time, this is Dr. Robert Morin. He is a longevity researcher at UCLA Harbor General Hospital. He also happens to be president of the American Longevity Association. And he's going to talk, I mean, you're talking about the possibility of really living forever.
He'll love what we're doing tonight.
I mean, he doesn't need to go into his research, but he's talking about in the same form you are now in, sticking around for 120 to 150 years with the kind of research that he's doing.
Oh, and we're talking about 500 years here.
I understand that. Maybe, I think that he's probably in his car, and I'm going to get him to respond to that. After Dr. Morin, we then have Edward Lawson. Now, he's a 36-year-old California man who took his case to the Supreme Court. I don't know if you heard him on Michael Jackson
the other day. Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. He has been picked up, I think, around 15 times by law enforcement in a two-year period just because,
he
looks funny. And he's the first one to admit that. He dresses rather flamboyantly. He has his hair, long hair, in sort of a braided curl kind of a thing down past his shoulders, and because of that, he was picked up because he looked suspicious. Well, he took his case to the Supreme Court, and on Monday of this past week, the Supreme Court, on a 7-2 vote, knocked out the vagrancy law here in the state of California. So Edward Lawson, who is one of the most articulate people I have ever heard,
really is worth listening to.
Fascinating. He is going to be on the air, and then I am grabbing one of your guests. Grace Coveney is coming back, where she's going to wear yet another hat in the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to be talking about Mother's Day, but perhaps in a slightly different way. We're going to be talking about the difficulty in relationships that between mothers and children. I also have an interview, or will have an interview with a doctor who has set up a hotline, a 24-hour hotline, just for tomorrow for Mother's Day, and he's got the psychiatrists and psychologists manning the phones to help people who are having trouble on this day, people whose maybe mothers whose kids are far away and can't be with them, mothers who have lost children recently. And so although it's a joyous day for most of us, for those of us who are going to have a tough day, we have a number and a little interview that we're going to have with the doctor who set up this hotline for tomorrow. So should be an interesting show.
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah, hope so. Hope you all stay tuned.
Now, your guy that's talking about living a long time, 125 years.
Yeah.
We're going to go into one more of these little bits of tape. We moved forward 200 years at this point.
Okay, great. Well, Dr. Morin, if you're in your car, I want you to take notes.
It is still me. It is still in this little body. And
do you remember all of this?
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember any of it?
No, I had to listen to the tape to hear this. I have no recollection of any of this.
Interesting.
At all. And I was asked, where am I now? Am I still Bill? And that sort of thing. And this is what came up.
This beautiful day again. On a giant expanse of beautiful stone, hand carved, which looks out over a broad valley, a river below, which forms a kind of a lake. The valley is lush. The hills beyond are not as rugged, but they are green and lush. The people are there. You can hear them laughing.
What do they look like? Do they still hear people?
Yes. Yes. Very little has changed except the city has gone off to function elsewhere. A new one has been built here near the valley floor that stretches up and down the valley floor, seemingly cascading from the side of the mountains down to near the river. From here, we are aware of a great deal of activity in the sky, with the coming and going of Earth shuttles. For we already know beginning to engage in commerce with very distant places. Interestingly enough, one of the things we import or export has to do with hydrogen-based military. language is the key element of the universe. From this, we literally export power, energy, to our friends in God, who have been most beneficial to us now that we grew up and have greatly advanced our technology and brought new vistas of beauty to all of us. I can tell you that to the south and west of here, not too many hundreds of years ago, was a vast desert. It was called the Sahara Desert. And it now serves as a fertile plain which feeds the expanding population of this planet, which now totals more than 28 billion people. And nowhere on this planet are there pockets of poverty or disease or famine. But rather, it is a planet now filled with happiness and joy, enormous technological advances and research. We have been so greatly impacted by our benefactors, and with their guidance and skill, no longer know death or sickness. And if death comes by way of an accident, with just a tiny bit of effort, the life returns to the repaired one. Okay.
I don't know if it's that, but I'm cold.
I wish I had time to play a lot more, because I'll go ahead and explain how that is done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite interesting. I have taken some of that information and passed it on to some people whom I trust with it. Because you always run the risk that this is my imagination, my ego, belief systems, you know, all being mishmashed in an alpha state or something, coming out in a way. But it is fascinating listening. Anyway, I'll be back in just a moment with Grace Coveney. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, Ed. I know you have hung on there for a long time, but we had a lot to do here. What's on your mind?
Okay, let me say it quick. I had a session with Mrs. Coveney a while back after she appeared with Barbara last time. And this, my comment was in regards to the regression. And it's just a thought for you. Now,
there's our music, so make it quick.
Okay, I worked with Thelma Moss before and other people, and I'm privy to certain genetic experiments where they have transferred memory in lower animals from one to the other. And I'm just suggesting that that this regression might well be simply genetic memory. Genetic memory that can be traced and can be verified, simply that came down from your ancestors.
Could be, except we just ran out of time.
Okay. I wish I could expound on it.
Been a busy night. We'll try to get to that next week.
Fascinating
with you, okay?
Show.
Thank you very much. Good and night. With that, we got to go. Grace, thank you very much. Your number, real quick.
6.
Let me turn on your mic.
888-8116, okay. Area code 213.
And Grace will be on at 3 o'clock with
That's
Grace,
correct.
With Barbara tonight. Glad you came by.
Thank you, everybody.
This is Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's an abbreviated look at the world that most people don't understand, that most people don't know. And I think that tonight we decided to continue something that we started, 3 or 4 months ago, because Dr. Lawrence Boron is with me.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Boron has a lot of very intriguing, interesting things to talk about. When the world is built upon a technology,
right,
and you want, you certainly want to think that that technology is correct.
We'd like to think that.
But whenever it happens to be that that technology is upside down and topsy-turvy,
right,
and backwards, as the technology becomes more and more pristine, if it's not working, then we're in trouble, aren't we?
I would think so.
Yeah. Larry, you say
There are a lot of upside-down backwards. What I want you to do is to recap what we talked about the last time you and I were on the air, because we certainly provoked a few sparks then.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. Are you sure my mic is live now?
It's live and
working. Beautiful. Okay. Well, we went over 6 out of 15 or 20 different categories of evidence that I've amassed, put together over a long period of time. I would say close to 20 years, actually. And we call it evidence exposing that Western civilization is a world that is upside down, backwards, and in reverse or inside out in many, if not most, of its belief system.
Well, I tell you what, you're right in tune with the Open Mind Show.
Are we really?
Yeah, because we think everything is backwards.
Well, you've been revealing a heck of a lot of evidence that they would call backwards in there. In other words, in the Orthodox view, our thinking is all backwards and upside down. Your thinking and mine and so on. But
we are avant-garde.
Pardon? Avant-garde, right. It remains to be seen who will be proven right.
Well, a lot of the things that we were talking about 4 years ago have proven to be true.
So right.
And in the next few years, the rest of the things we're talking about will be proven to be true.
I think
so. And the other things that we will talk about, and I don't even know what that's going to be, will prove to be true.
I think
it will. Because they don't get on these microphones unless there's an awful lot of research behind it.
A lot of evidence has to be amassed, right?
Yeah.
You know, the average scientist, or let's say the orthodoxy of science, likes to poke fun at believers in UFOs, you know, and psychic powers and reincarnation and all these sort of far-out things of the New Age, we call the New Age.
I don't call psychic powers far-out.
I know you don't, but...
In fact, I think that's what Jesus was talking about.
Of course, but you do realize that the establishment views that as very far-out stuff anyway.
That's their problem.
And that's their problem. But I think turnabout is fair play. So if we have tremendous evidence amassed as to a lot of things in science, in particular, that are upside down, backwards, and inside out, I think we should have an equal right to poke a little fun at them.
Well, what I want to do is, I want you to spend a few moments recapping what we talked about before and the things that you're doing right now. And then I want to open up the phones, but I am most interested in hearing the skeptics.
Yeah,
the ones that think that the world is the way we see it now and we have got a handle on it.
Right.
Because I don't think we have a handle on anything.
Well, good for you, Bill.
I think the scientific community is a joke. I think the academic community is a bigger joke.
Bill, are you really
going to say that? I certainly think that the political community is probably the biggest joke.
Bill, you're even farther out than I am then.
Well,
I mean,
I'm far out.
I mean...
And by the way, I can back up what I have to say.
Well, that's wonderful because...
Now, what I want to do, I want the skeptics to call in because we're going to tell them some really strange things. Now, we're going to be a little bit scientific tonight because...
That's what I like.
Dr. Boren is a scientific person, and we're going to talk about science. We're going to talk about how Einstein is wrong and a lot of the scientific principles that we're building our technology upon happen to be backwards.
Yeah.
And we're getting to a point where science won't forgive you as you start using it more and more and more and developing it to a finer and finer
point. Right.
If your science is backwards, then all at once your technology is going to fall down.
You're in big trouble.
You're in
tremendous
deep trouble.
Deep trouble. And, you know, you did tell me, I think, that my postulated discovery of the magnetic nature of the positron has been somewhat verified since I brought it up.
In a number of places. You brought that up here on this show.
About 6 months or 8 months ago.
And I am, as you know, a little bit of an underground network that I am involved with.
Yeah,
of some pretty heavy scientific people.
Yeah.
They have read your paper. And some of them have come up with the same idea themselves, by the way, just because they're now getting into very, very heavy science.
Heavy science.
All at once.
It rings a bell.
Rings a bell.
Wow.
And, in fact, they came up with them, came to me with their own papers. They're saying the whole thing.
At the end of the program, I would like to see some of their statements or evidence that
I didn't bring them with you, but
no.
With me, you know.
I know.
Doing good to get down here on a Saturday.
Well, anyway, sometime I want to, you know, share some of their findings, too, so I'll keep up with it. Okay, now, you'd like me to recap, I believe.
Recap last week. We're going to do a commercial break. I want you to make your new statement and what you're doing right now, and then we're going to go to the phones.
Okay. You're going to go to a commercial? Right?
Not right now. I want you to recap.
Oh, recap first.
Time.
Okay. Well, we covered six categories of evidence last time. And let's see. Let's start with the first one of them was what we call our main astronomical model. That is our model of the entire universe that science recognizes and has put together in the last 50 or 75 years is as follows. Their idea is that the genesis of a universe that is highly organized, but it was unplanned and uncreated, forever running down, yet forever expanding, with no advanced cosmic intelligence behind it, mind you, to create it and control it. Now, such a model of the universe is beginning to fall apart. So I find, not only in my findings, but in other research scientists, okay, they are beginning to find that it's really inside out and upside down, according to the latest evidence. Now, I went into four categories of evidence to support that. One concerns the small discovery of the small neutrino mass and the recent discovery the universe is actually rotating around some kind of a mysterious center. And there was two or three other categories of evidence, which, you know, we won't try to recap every bit of this evidence. But this was one category, that our main astronomical model was upside down and backwards. Now, the second category we went into was that our main biological law, which we call Darwinian evolution, was upside down and backwards, according to the best thinking of recent scientists. And, of course, we all know that that denies that there's any divine spirit in man or the universe. It also denies there's any purpose or design to the universe.
By the way, we went into that last week with Dr. Jeffrey Goodman.
Oh, did you?
And Dr. Lee Gladden and Dr. Vivian Gladden.
Yeah.
Evolution. No good.
It doesn't cut the mustard, as they say.
No.
It doesn't hold up.
That's out. Darwin is done.
Darwin is a past tense or past case because he...
A fleeting fancy, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. He served a certain purpose and a certain value up to a point, but he's been shot down by the recent discoveries that, for example, Dr. Wickramasinghe of Wales. He's no doubt Hindu. Shot down by evidence from Edgar Mitchell and his group on consciousness research by Drs. Epton and Lovelock of England, who have proven that a higher intelligence definitely prepared the Earth's atmosphere for living things before anything living was able to appear here, and many other categories of specific evidence.
Dr. Mitchell will be on in October, by the way.
Oh, great. I would like... Maybe I can sit in and listen.
You're welcome.
I'd love to talk to him some. Okay, Bill. All right, let's take a third category. Well, let me see. Our third category here would be that the true cause and action, for example, of electrical force, as taught in all the textbooks on electricity, is also taught backwards. That is, most of the time, or let's say it this way, a slightly different way, they teach it both backwards and forwards. In other words, for the first 100 years of electrical research, beginning with Ben Franklin and his era, they thought that electricity flowed from plus to minus. Then about 75, 80, 100 years ago, they found out that no, electrons actually are flowing in the reverse direction. But they have ever since then taught it both ways. Instead of saying we were teaching, you know, we learned it wrong or the theory first put forward was incorrect, and now we will change it and make it correct. They didn't do that. Therefore, I say that where science is not upside down and backwards, it's half sane and half insane. You know, they let sane doctrines go right side by side with insane doctrines.
Well, they don't want to admit that they were wrong. You get the right and the wrong together,
yeah,
and you make up your own mind.
Yeah, but can you imagine teaching thousands and maybe millions of students of electricity and electronics two different directions for electrical energy flow? And then they're supposed to figure out under what conditions should we use this terminology and this direction, under what conditions should we use the other. And it creates nothing but confusion and a tremendous mix-up.
We're going to have to stop right here, Larry.
Okay. That's just a few categories
we've just
covered.
We're just starting.
Yeah.
If you have, you know, if you're a listener and you have a view of the world, we're talking mainly about scientific things, but we will get into some other things also.
Oh, yes, indeed.
The psychic things. We have a caller on the line, Stuart Robb, who's been on with us a long time. He wants to talk about Rosemary Brown for just a minute, which, blows a lot of people's mind, Rosemary Brown.
I should think so.
We'll get to Stuart, and the rest of you. But let me give you some telephone numbers, because if you think that the world is the way you see it, wrong, it really isn't.
Got another thing coming.
Got another thing coming, and here we'll open up the doors and you can talk about all of it. Let me give you some numbers. It's open mind and sort of a short version, and we invite you to call in because Dr. Lawrence Boren is with me. And Dr. Boren says that most everything we're talking about is upside down. Now, we have Stuart on the line. Stuart Robb has been a guest on the show a couple of times, and he wanted to talk a little bit about Rosemary Brown. Dr. Boren, are you familiar with Rosemary Brown?
Well, I believe that...
Rings a bell. Is she the one that different composers are supposed to play through?
On the Stuart, yeah. Tell us about Rosemary.
Yes, very briefly. She's a London housewife, or more correctly, house widow. Of no musical training, who claims to be receiving music dictated to her by the great composers, and she does not hear the music. She hears the notes, actual notes being dictated to her, you know, like A, B, C, D, and or the...
She writes it down in kind of longhand, right?
Oh,
yes. But, however, Fats Waller and Gershwin are included.
Hmm.
Chronologically, right from the 17th century, Monteverdi, up through the great composers of the 18th and 19th, Bach, for instance, Beethoven, and then Schubert in the 19th, and the rest, list her control, or guide, or guardian angel, and he rounds up the other composers, purpose being to prove survival after death by means of music, which will identify the various composers.
Very good.
Enormously impressed were a number of musicologists, including the world's leading authority on the music of Liszt, and... Also, Leonard Bernstein, and quite a number of other eminent musicians, like Richard Rodney Bennett.
Great.
Absolutely, anyone, so on.
Rosemary Brown is very intriguing.